Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome all of you. We're so glad that you're with us today on this 17th Sunday after Pentecost. And we have come to gather in the name of the Lord on this Worldwide Communion Sunday today. And folks around the world are gathering together. Some have already gathered, and some are going to be gathering later, depending on what time zone they're in, and joining together in worship of the Lord and sharing at the table. And so we're glad to be a part of that, thinking about the body of Christ worldwide. And a little bit later on, as we we will be continuing to look at how to think wisely about our stuff. And so let's join together and open our hearts today by standing and joining and singing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Listen for the Lord's song in a world of plenty and want.
We will sing of God's faithfulness and goodness.
Listen for the Lord's song in a world of strife and war.
We will sing of unity and peace, reconciliation and hope.
Come, let us sing the Lord's song as we gather. Let's do that this morning, and let's join together there. You can turn in your hymn books to 331, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint, The Church is One Foundation, and we're going to be singing three verses this morning. Join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. God of grace and peace, be with us now. Bring us into your presence. Comfort our pain. Challenge our fears. Enter our prayer and our praise, that our worship may be pleasing to you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And I'm going to invite our kids to come forward, if they would, this morning. We are going to go to our time of prayer this morning, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. And I'm going to pause a second. And we want to invite you to join with us today. So someone, joy or concerns this morning. Yes.
I have a joy. I want to thank everybody for all the cards and prayers and phone calls. This is it just went on and on. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Yeah. If you didn't hear what she said, she says she has a joy. And she is so grateful and thankful for everybody that sent a card, said prayers for her, other things, phone calls and different things there. And so we appreciate so much all of that as she went through surgery. And that's what being the body of Christ is all about. So someone else. Yes. Well, thank God for both of those that they're doing well. And I don't know if those were part of your unspoken needs there that you spoke in the past about, but yes, and we know God knows what those are. Someone else this morning. Someone else, yeah.
Continue to lift Josh and Sydney up for infertility issues.
Yes, we can do that. And I think this is the first time you shared that. The second, yeah. But I know she's been kind of keeping me apprised, and so we definitely want to continue to keep them in our prayers, Josh and Sydney, as they are dealing with all that goes with trying to conceive and have a baby and the stress and the anxiety and all of that. So appreciate your prayers for them. Someone else, I saw a couple other hands, yeah. That's good. That's good. Did they ever find out why she was having the convulsions?
No.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, So definitely want to continue to remember Jean Cavolt in our prayers. I saw her over at the emergency room and when she was still having some of those. But maybe, hopefully, the treatment of this stuff may help to subside that and everything. So with the pneumonia and bronchitis, yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. You know the Lord knows that. Someone else. Did I see another hand? Okay.
Unspoken.
Okay. We know the Lord knows that. Anybody else this morning? Yeah.
I just want to thank the congregation and everybody who supported me in my second bout with this deal. I can't tell you how important and how I appreciate the support and prayers and so on. And also, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate my wife. And when I'm down and totally in bed, I don't know what to do about it. A couple other things. I just am thankful for the harvest that's coming. And we're in process. The crops are coming out. And I just pray for safety for the people there. And also, the thing that's going on with Ukraine, I just continue to be concerned about that.
Okay. I heard the thing about safety. Did you catch what? Thank you.
And then Ukraine. And
yeah.
Is it people that just mobilized to the National Guard, right?
Oh, did they get mobilized down to Florida? Okay. Yeah. So several things there are the farmers and their safety and through all of that's going on. Yes, definitely that. Thank you for mentioning that. Definitely want to continue praying for Ukraine and then also the Pickwell National Guard and all that. Others that are being released to help in the hurricane places. We think of Florida and the Carolinas and some of that. Areas. I hadn't heard a lot more beyond that. I know there was areas when it turned south or Fort Myer and a few other places that were hit hard with flooding because of the storm surge and all of that. A lot of damage. So definitely want to keep all of those in our prayers. And
I did want to say
cat passed away. She was found. They missed her on Thursday and taken to Hertz Arena, where there were some nurses on call. And she is alive. And
I was waiting for that part. Yeah, I wasn't sure at first. When you... Wow. That was a real miracle there, that, yes, because I know in speaking of Fort Myer, that was one of the first places that I heard where they were talking about the water being up some places as high as cars down the main drag of Fort Myer. And when I heard that, I thought, oh my gosh, there's homes and businesses and everything else is just going to be ruined in some of those places. So definitely want to continue to pray. You're right. There's probably still searching going on even up to this day, you know, in some of those places. And someone else. Yes.
Keep Paul Gerhardt in our prayers as he's still recovering from his eater accident.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I think we had prayed for him last week. I thought I saw another hand over here. Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. We know the Lord knows that this morning. Anybody else?
I do have another. I stopped and visited Ellie and Dave Brennan yesterday. And Ellie's going to get her artificial leg shortly. And of course, she's looking forward to it. You can tell she's hesitant.
Yes. Yeah, and definitely do want to pray for Ellie. There's some anxiousness there, you know, getting fit for that and learning, which we talked a lot, mentioned last Sunday, learning about that new leg and working with it, and, you know, and it's very electronic. So it's possible, I don't know all the details, but it could be tied in with some things with her nerves and brain, you know, to function. And so, yeah, there'll be some different things there. I don't know all the details yet. Anybody else then? All right, so we want to continue lifting up Jim and Kay and continuing to ask God's touch upon them and for continued strength for Jim, definitely for Jody's sister, for continued strength. She's been really tired, and which, you know, if you've known people that's gone through chemo treatments, so we definitely want to continue lifting up her. And those on our monthly list. So as we go to prayer this morning, you will have a chance to pray there in your seats for those names that come to your mind as Carla plays, and then I'll close us out. As we pause this morning, we are so grateful. We are grateful that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus and that he is there for us. We know from Scripture that we are told that he is lifting us up before the Father in heaven, and he intercedes for us. And Lord, we want to be able to do that in turn and lift up those that we know that are going through facing struggles and hard times and issues right now. We think of a Jean. Lord, we're thankful that she was able to come home, but we pray as she's continuing to be treated for pneumonia that your healing touch will be with her. We lift up Josh and Sydney today. God, Lord, as facing this issue of infertility, God, we just ask for your grace and strength for them right now, Lord, with everything that goes with that, and your healing touch and wisdom from the doctors as they continue to work. Lord, we think about Paul, who's recovering from this accident. God, that you would continue to bring strength and healing. And Ellie, with some of the anxiousness with this new leg that she will be receiving soon. We just pray for faith and strength and grace there and all of that. And we think of Jim and Kay, God, asking for your continued strength for them, especially for Jim, Lord, as he's still trying to recover from everything. We ask your continued healing touch and grace. And we lift up Jill to you this morning, God, that you will bring a healing touch and grace into her life and strength right now. And thank you for your hand that is with her and others that are going through the same thing. I think about so many on our monthly list, Lord, that are facing similar things, that are going through treatments and facing serious illnesses and cancer. God, we just ask for your healing touch and grace and strength there. Lord, we lift up our farmers, God, asking for your continued hand of protection upon them during this season, Lord, harvest season. We think about Ukraine and Russia. We continue to pray for peace there. And so many of those that have lost loved ones in the midst of that fight. And God, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, we think about those that are being sent down into Florida and the Carolinas from the hurricane. Lord, we think about all those people that lost so much in their homes. And God, we just pray for your grace and strength. Thank you for organizations and mobilizations and so many different groups and even our federal response teams that are there working, and the National Guards and so many different ones that are helping right now, that you'll be with them. And we pray for families that have lost loved ones and maybe some that are still trying to find loved ones, God. We pray for your grace and comfort and wisdom there. And Lord, through all of that, God. And Lord, we think of these unspoken requests that were lifted up, Lord, that you would work there, continuing extending your grace and working in those situations, the ones that you know of. And Lord, I even pray for those that may be mentioned during their prayer time when they lifted up needs and others, that you would meet there, especially if they mentioned some that were not named today, God, that you can make a way there and work in those situations. Pray your blessing upon the rest of our time together as we break the bread of your word. May you feed us, our souls, Lord, to send us forth to be your people of blessing. And Lord, also, as we come to the table today and break the bread and drink from the cup, God, that your hand of grace and love and working in us and presence will be real to us today. As we ask all of these things today, in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, Well, thank you so much for joining with us in prayer. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, as I always say, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And God uses each of us to be a blessing and a channel of blessing to reach out, not only to continue the work of the church here, but also into our community and world and beyond. So God bless you as our ushers come today as you give. Amen. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Fount of blessing, who richly provides for our needs and enjoyment, thank you for your many gifts. May the gifts we offer you today be used for your service and your glory. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. The passage we read last week, I've shortened it a little bit to focus in on some of the verses that I want to focus on today, and I'm reading from a different version. Last week I used the New Living Translation. Today I'm using the Common English Bible, and so you'll get to see how it reads just a little bit differently this morning. Actually, godliness is a great source of profit when it is combined with being happy with what you already have. We didn't bring anything into the world, and so we can't take anything out of it. We'll be happy with food and clothing. Tell people who are rich at this time to do good, to be rich in the good things they do, to be generous and to share with others. And when they do these things, they will save a treasure for themselves that is a good foundation for the future. That way, they can take hold of what is truly life. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of the word today, and that the Spirit will give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. I'm going to share one of these that I think I've shared before. Attending a wedding for the first time, a little girl whispered to her mother, "Why is the bride dressed in white?" The mother replied, "Because white is the color of happiness, and today is the happiest day of her life." The child thought about this for a moment and then said, "So why is the groom wearing black?" I want to continue today, and this will be the last Sunday. We'll finish this up about thinking wisely about our stuff. And I'm hoping that this will continue to be a blessing to you to understand. You know, I was thinking about this week. The pastorals were kind of some of the last ones written by Paul in connection, or written by Timothy, or I mean Silvanus, or whoever was involved with the writing of that towards the end of his life or just thereafter. And so we begin to see how sometimes when you look at the latter books in the New Testament, how they begin to see the long picture for God's work in the world and church. And this is kind of, I think, part of that. And as we read through these verses, there's no doubt that bounty is a part of our lives. And the reason that is because bounty is a part of God and the character of God. As I was trying to share with the kids there, you know, when we give and we do that, we are sharing in God's character and actions, how God is a giver. And however, as we saw last week, Paul and Jesus too, even though we didn't look at Jesus's teachings on this, both give cautions and instructions regarding such a bounty. So last week we looked at those three cautions. And if you weren't here last week, let me just summarize them real quick. First of all, these cautions regarding our stuff, our possessions, our money, finances, all of that included the temporary nature of our stuff, our possessions. We talked a little bit about that. We talked about how pride can be generated because of the stuff in our lives, and we're not careful. It can be a dangerous pride instead of the good pride that we kind of distinguished there last week. And then the caution of the misleading certainty that we can develop because of our stuff, like we're untouchable or whatever else you want to say there. Today, Paul, we're going to focus on Paul's kind of answer to all of that stuff. The answer to those cautions, along with instructions regarding God's bounty and how we are part of that. And how Paul says this is great gain or great profit because of that in our lives. And Paul does this in his unique way that he always does, is he kind of grounds it all in Christ and says how we can be this way and do these kind of things because we are in Christ. So let's look at them there this morning. Two of them I want to focus on. And I said last week I wanted to say more about this when I touched on it. And that is this word about being with godliness and contentment, there's great gain or profit in that. So first of all, contentment in Christ. So Paul's answer to these cautions, these concerns about all of that stuff, is what he said in Philippians, where he has learned to be content in all of those kind of things. I might have a lot at one moment, and at other times I may be struggling in life, but he says, I found a way of being content in Christ in all of that. And I think that's a good way to look at that. So let's think of it like this. And let me say this morning. Contentment is the empowerment Christ gives us to live above both plenty and want. Plenty and want. And I use that basically, I reworded a little bit, but what I wrote right there comes from Gordon Fee in his commentary on Timothy and in Philippians, the way he described that. And I really like the way he said that. So here's the thing. Contentment is not something that we always just gain from living life. In fact, if you've lived life very long, you know that life has a way, and the things of life and the difficulties of life have a way of causing us not to be content in our life. But Paul would say that contentment is something that we experience in Christ. It's like when we experience grace or forgiveness or healing or mercy or all of those things, or God's love. And what that does, and you might connect it, and it could be connected with what we think of as peace or shalom, well-being, wholeness. Because contentment goes to the state of our heart and minds so that we are able to live happy and joyful in spite of what we're going through. Now, I know this is, you don't have to tell me this. This is easier said than done. But it is there. When I was driving out here this morning, I started thinking about when I first started responding to God's call in my life and that joy and peace that was there. And along with that, there was a confidence. And I started thinking, Lord, I want that to always be a part of my life. And because that aspect of God's presence and Christ's presence in our life through the Holy Spirit brings a satisfaction. In other words, contentment then becomes, because of what Christ is doing in our lives, a choice that we choose to live our lives out of. I heard Chuck Swindoll not too long ago say that contentment is, it's what we choose. It's a decision we make to say, I'm going to be thankful in spite of everything that's going into my life. I'm going to be thankful to God and then walk in that grace that God gives me to do that. And as a result then, contentment has its rewards in our lives. Let me just share three of them real quickly with you. First of all, we begin to enjoy life instead of striving in life. Striving. Striving is this thing about, oh, I got to get out of bed this morning. I got to do, it's like we're always fighting everything. And somehow, now I know as we get older and the body doesn't function as easy, And we have more aches and pains, and we got issues at work, and this person giving me a hard time, and my boss, all these things that go on, that after so long, it starts to drain on us and wear on us. But I have to remind myself, and I was thinking a lot about this for myself this week, that God gives these things, and Paul said it there, and I think I read it earlier, God has blessed us with these things for our enjoyment, not just meeting our needs, but for our enjoyment in life. And so there, God wants us to enjoy life and not just see life as a drudgery. Another thing is, and this can be challenging at times, is not only applaud, but recognize and applaud other people's achievements and successes, you know, without being envious of them. You know, that when we see God blessing somebody else, we can rejoice with that and say, God, thank you for doing that. And then the last thing is we begin to see that when we walk in that and choose to walk in that grace that God gives us and that empowerment, is we become grateful people. And you know, sometimes we face those things that make it hard to enjoy that. And here's the thing. Whether we have much or we don't have as much, the invitation to walk in contentment is available to all of us. And that is so true. And that's contentment in Christ. Second thing is what Paul talks about there when he says there's godliness in Christ. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Some translations will say piety. Some translations will say devotion. It depends on how you read. Let me say what it is not. It's not the old idea of thinking in some of the churches through the centuries, especially in the U.S., of godliness as, well, I don't dance, I don't smoke, I don't play cards, I wear my skirt down to my ankles, not me personally, but ladies, you know, I wear my head up in a bun, I have a little cap on my head, you know, that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about, as he said, we saw a few weeks ago in Timothy, where we live that peaceful, quiet life that is shaped by our trust in Christ. And so this is what Paul is talking about there. In other words, and if you think about that, that peaceful thing, I mentioned that earlier about contentment and its connection with peace, shalom, is that we begin, it's weird that I worked on this and I've really been convicted or whatever term, you know, I've been challenged because it's so easy to react in life instead of just live life out of that peace that Christ gives us in our lives, that deep commitment that's down in within us. And so in this passage where Paul's talking about all of this with our stuff, he gives us some ideas, a couple of them I'm going to talk about here, of what does this look like? What does practicing godliness, what does practicing our piety or our devotion, our walk in Christ look like? Well, first of all, such devotion is expressed through generosity. And here's where Paul tells Timothy, tell those who are rich to be generous with what they have. Why? Because God is generous. All throughout Scripture, we see, in fact, Paul most famously argues this in 2 Corinthians, that when we're generous, we are acting like God who is generous to us. And generous in good, doing good, he talks about there. Being rich in good deeds and so forth. Which, by the way, in another passage, and it wasn't in one of our readings when we were going through Timothy, which is a way that we show our reverence or our faith in God, is by doing those kind of things. And then generous in giving. This is interesting here. Paul literally says, willing to share. And the Greek word for share is where we get the term koinonia. Have you ever heard that word before? Sometimes we translate it fellowship. When we get together and have fellowship and so forth, that's sometimes that word. But koinonia means more than getting together and eating food together. It means I share something of myself with Carrie. Carrie shares something of herself with me and so forth and so on. We're doing that. And with that, when we give, as far as giving monetarily, of our time, talents, and treasures, we are giving something of ourselves to other people. And part of that is the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God that we're giving to them when we help and be a blessing in that. And then Paul gives, he doesn't just leave us hanging in all that. He gives us a reason why this is important, or maybe we could say a motivation. Such devotion is an investment for the future. For the future. It's like Jesus said, we are storing up treasures in heaven instead of on earth. It's building, now this is a different thing, it's building a firm foundation for our lives. Paul talks about in Corinthians where he came along with his ministry and his giving and built on the apostles and prophets that went before him. And he wanted to continue to do that so that one day he could stand before God and God would say, this is of gold. This is of silver. This over here, it's hay and stubble, but that's okay. It's all right. You still, in other words, we give to make a difference for the kingdom's sake. and so that other things can be accomplished. And such generous living of our faith is then what Paul says in several places in the New Testament, is when we do that, we are partnering with God. We are partnering with God and in God's abundant life, where God richly provides, as we said, for our enjoyment. Now, I'm thankful that when I was a kid, and some of you do it here too, and probably some of your parents did it for you, and that's why you are a giver to this day, is somebody taught you to give. My parents, every Sunday, gave me a quarter and said, stick this into the Sunday school offering. And as I got older, then it was a couple quarters, and then it ended up being a junior high as a dollar or whatever, you know, and so forth and so on. And then when I started to feel the call of God on my life, I remember the pastor at the time taught on some of this stuff. And he said something that I've never forgotten, and you probably heard it before, I probably said it here, is he said, you cannot outgive God. And I was struck by that, and I can tell you personally that whenever I've given, when I've been with plenty or in want, God has always, 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 always taken care of me. Always. And that is the idea and Paul's answer to those cautions. In other words, we don't live out of the anxieties of life and the worries and the concerns and living arrogantly and all of that, but we live as givers. And I said something in the Bible study class when we were going through Ruth. It was something that was being talked about in there, is I said, I know people that don't serve God at all and don't go to church that have learned this principle, that when they are blessed, they share and give. And I think because they've learned that, God continues to bless them in ways that they can't imagine. And so this is living wisely. Amen. Amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts this morning as we get ready to share in communion this morning. And we are so thankful that we are able to come to the table, and we are invited by Christ to come and receive as he gives to us of his presence and of his grace and mercy and forgiveness today. So as we do that, we always join together and prepare our hearts. So if you're able to follow along and would like to, we invite you to pray together with me. God of grace and peace, you call us into being. You hold us in life. Far too often we turn from you, placing our trust in the frail promises of this world and in the uncertainty of our stuff. But you, O God, are our only sure foundation. Help us turn to you, our heart's true home. Bless us with your presence and grace as we share at the table today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And may we receive of his grace and forgiveness today. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses, those that are going to be helping us out this morning, if they would begin to make their way forward as we share, and all are welcome to receive out of the table today.
remember on that night when they were gathered together, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks for it. He said, "Take, eat this bread. This is my body given for you, and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning.
Often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Well, we're going to go ahead and stand, and we're going to go ahead and close this morning. And we're going to sing a chorus that you may not know. It's an older one, but it comes right out of one of the Psalms. And I hope, Carla, go ahead and start playing it now so they get a little bit of that tune in their head. I remember singing it years ago in every church I've been at, except this one. And so I want to teach it to you this morning. It's called "The Steadfast Love of the Lord Never Ceases." And it comes out of Lamentations. So we're going to sing it this morning. We'll sing it through twice. Hopefully you'll pick up a little bit of it. And then hopefully the second time you'll be able to sing it through much better.
Faithfulness.
it again.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
We'll sing it again. Hopefully you'll get it better the next time. Well, let's join together there for our benediction. Live boldly, trusting God with everything we are and everything we have. May righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness be our companions each day. Amen. Amen.